Molly Beck is the political and state writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's gotten enough today to join us about a lot of stories that have happened in the last few weeks in Wisconsin that we do want to touch on. Molly, hello.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I want to start off, if it's okay, with your congressman, because you have two,
sure.
One who retired fairly soon and then one who announced his retirement at the end of his term. But let's start with Sean Duffy, the 7th Congressional District congressman, former MTV star. He basically surprised a lot of people with a bit of a personal story that his soon to be born child was going to have some health complications, and because of that, he decided enough's enough. He's going to walk away, and he's retiring early from Congress. Correct?
That's right. Yeah. So Representative Sean Duffy, he represented the Wisconsin 7th Congressional District, which covers almost all of Northwest Wisconsin. It's very large district. And he let reporters and the public know a few weeks ago that his wife, Rachel, is pregnant with their 9th child, and the baby, it looks like the baby has some heart complications. So he said he was resigning, I believe next week, in a couple days at least, because he wanted to be home to take care of the child.
There is, and this is not questioning anything about the illness. It is absolutely not. And, you know, it's his 9th kid. I mean, to a point, as a person who has 3, I'm shocked that he was able to, that, and all my best to Rachel here, because she's obviously been working a lot. But I do have to ask the question. He is undeniably, because his child is going to be born with a pre-existing condition. Is there the chance that part of the reason why he's resigning is the reason why he has been campaigning hard against the Affordable Care Act himself pretty much the entire time he has been in Congress. And now his family is going to directly benefit from one of the assets of the Affordable Care Act, that pre-existing conditions are still covered. I mean, is there an element of him where he just doesn't want to have to face that on the campaign trail?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, that's not a question that I've seen him address. And I'm not sure if Rachel is still working. I know she is a contributor to Fox News, so I'm not really sure what their health insurance status is.
But at the same time, too, though, I mean, and understand me, I mean, it would be just, you know, and just in the generic sense, if I was a congressman, I had campaigned against a certain issue for my entire run, and then I all of a sudden find out the issue I have been running against is something my family is probably going to benefit from. I mean, hopefully this child has a very long life, which means that there is a very decent chance it will change insurance companies, which means that pre-existing conditions clause will kick in. And so I think that, you know, just as a politician, if you're to a point smart, he's already been there. He'll get his lobbying gig wherever that ends up being. And, you know, if you're smart, this is just one of those things where it comes to the campaign trail. You're just going to have a lot of trouble explaining why the issue that you've been railing against that you now benefit from is so bad for everyone else.
I mean, I'm sure he will not stay away from politics. You know, there's been some speculation that he might want to run for governor of Wisconsin at some point. Or even U.S. Senate if Ron Johnson decides not to run for that. So I'm sure this will not be the last time he's in the political eye.
Sensenbrenner, I got to admit, Sensenbrenner kind of surprises me because he is a little bit – he's conservative on some issues, but he's to a point, like an old-school moderate Republican, and many of the old-school moderate Republicans ran away from the party back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and he's stuck around. You know, here he's been in the 5th Congressional District. He announces he's retiring there. How much of a surprise was that?
That was pretty surprising. I mean, in one sense it wasn't, because he has been in Congress for 4 decades. That's a long time.
Yes.
He's getting up there in age. But in another sense, I think there was, you know, people who have wanted to run for that seat have given up on that idea, you know, and have done other things along the way. So it was surprising for us. You know, you always hear every year, like, oh, maybe this is the year that Sensenbrenner will retire. But we hadn't really heard that really in full force before he did announce he was leaving. So that has sparked a bunch of questions about who's going to run for that seat, because that seat is near Milwaukee. It's the Milwaukee suburbs, and it's a very reliably conservative district. So a lot of Republicans in Wisconsin are eyeing that seat. The Senate Majority Leader here has already said he's going to run for that seat, Scott Fitzgerald. A Democratic candidate also has said he's running, but there's also a number of other Republicans that are thinking about it right now, including former Governor Scott Walker's son, Matt Walker.
Oh, easy. Obviously no one's really, you know, connected the dots on there. Was there any inclination with his announcement? It's connected to all the rest of these Republicans who are announcing that they're not going to run again in 2020?
Yeah, he was asked that, and he was pretty adamant that it had nothing to do with that. He's been in the House for such a long time that he's been on both sides of that.
I know this from following politics. Generally, the most dangerous time for a seat like this is, you know, for the Republicans would be in Sensenbrenner's seat specifically, the 5th Congressional District, is after a guy has retired, all of a sudden people who have just basically, you know, Pavlov dog it, you know, just go in there and vote, 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 all of a sudden step back and actually evaluate. Is there any chance that either one of these seats would potentially go to the Democrats?
I mean, you never know. Obviously, I know that in the 5th Congressional District, there's a little tiny part of it near Milwaukee, that there's an assembly district that, you know, former Governor Walker, former State Senator Leah Vukmir, I mean, very Republican, kind of conservative icons in Wisconsin have held, and now a Democrat holds it. So that area is shifting politically a little bit, but I don't know that it's, you know, enough to flip that whole district or put it in play. I think in the 7th district, Democrats are a little bit more mobilized there than they are in the 5th. So mm-hmm. they might think that there's more of a chance there, but I mean, both of those districts are drawn to favor Republicans pretty easily.
And let's be honest here. I mean, it comes down to the economy, and in the 7th is the ag economy. If the trade war continues and it gets worse, and all of a sudden we start seeing auctioneers being the only one employed anymore, obviously that's going to weigh in the factor. Same thing goes if the stock market all of a sudden drops, like a lot of the people, you know, potentially expect it to do. You know, that could affect the 5th district as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all sorts of factors in the 5th district that'll come open in 2022. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
It's going to be a free for all. Well, it is going to be interesting. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's. You know, when Trump went after Harley Davidson, I was like, okay, good luck. I don't know. I know the Packers are number one, but Harley Davidson's pretty close to the top of that list in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's interesting. Moving away from those, you know, U.S. seats, you'd mentioned that your governor has been a little bit active today with some announcements, correct?
Yeah. So our Democratic Governor Tony Evers, he announced some legislation that he's backing that Wisconsin Democratic lawmakers are putting forward that would create a new red flag law in Wisconsin. Wisconsin already has a version of that on the books for people who are accused of domestic abuse and child abuse. And this would create a new law that kind of is a little bit more broad. And at that press conference, he was asked about presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke's proposal to require gun buybacks, and he said he would consider that. So that's something new that we hadn't heard before.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I should mention, buybacks of AR-15s, military assault weapons, as a person who was in the Army, military assault weapons that are designed, when someone sits down with sketch paper and a pencil to design the thing, they're designed to kill other human beings as fast and as quickly as possible. That's what Beto O'Rourke talking about getting rid of. I imagine the Republicans are like, no, 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 over my, you know, my cold, dead hand sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, it was a pretty swift and loud reaction. I think the Republican Party of Wisconsin was tweeting in all caps, you know, as soon as the governor said that.
I said to Gay Colt, the manufacturer of the AR-15 is actually going to stop production. And the reason why is that they have believed that the market is saturated, that they have sold as many of them as they possibly can. So they are going to stop manufacturing them. considering the amount that are in the market and the amount of people that actually own guns in this country, that means most people actually own multiple versions of them. So, I mean, it's you know, you're really going to get the real fanatics that love their guns are going to be the ones that obviously they'll never try to give them away.
And the governor's staff, when we wrote about that, they argued that, you know, the story should really focus on the other legislation that he's putting forward. So I'm not sure how aggressive that consideration is right now.
And maybe just, yeah, and like I said, maybe just as he was asked about Beto O'Rourke, saying I'm not against it, that's for sure. Turning to a topic that you and I have addressed numerous times, Foxconn, the large investment made by Scott Walker and the Republicans in Wisconsin with the company, the technology company, to build a major campus in Wisconsin, which has so far been somewhat precarious as far as the follow through on this. It still is very unknown if it's going to make the money back. One of the things that came up, the story that came up, was there was a partnership that was proposed and to support interdisciplinary research in the Madison campus of the University of Wisconsin and establish Foxconn Institute of Research in Science and Technology to preserve further collaboration between the University of Wisconsin and Foxconn. Great idea. Foxconn had said they'll give a $100 million gift to this. Pretty standard stuff when you're talking about colleges and at this level. They're basically 25% through the partnership with Foxconn, and the University of Wisconsin so far has received only 0.7% of the $100 million. What are they going to see any of that money, really?
Yeah, that's a big question right now. I think it was July, our paper had reported that no movement had been made on that gift, and only after that story ran did Foxconn put up the $700,000 that you're talking about. So what's supposed to happen is they're supposed to put up $100 million, and then the UW-Madison will put up $100 million and create this research facility. But, there's virtually been no progress on that.
Obviously, another bit of an ominous sign. You and I talked in best case scenario, which was even going to be hard to attain, that this was going to be a risky venture for the state of Wisconsin. As far as the campus itself, that the new manufacturing facility Foxconn is building on the southeast side of the state, where is that at? I mean, obviously there were some questions about buildings, sizes. You know, there are building stuff, but is it anywhere near what they've been promising?
I mean, it depends when you're. What promise you're talking about. If you're talking about the promise initially when they first started talking to lawmakers here, no, it's not going to be anywhere close to that. But they are building the campus right now. There have been some news on, you know, some sort of kind of administration center. They were initially thinking about building a building that kind of looks like the Epcot Center.
okay.
But I think they've decided against that. So, there's construction going on down there, and they've said that they want to get it done, I think, by next year. I have to check on that. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's within the next year.
They, you know, once again, though, it's at this point, I think we can say that those pie in the sky numbers are that Scott Walker championed with this deal. It pretty much is, they're not going to get anywhere near that, correct?
Well, the 13,000 job figure that came with the initial plan, I mean, that was an estimate for what's known as the Generation 10 facility. They are not building that kind of facility anymore. They're building a what's known as a Generation 6 facility. So, there's a lot of skepticism that 13,000 job number is realistic, but Foxconn is still saying but they will bring that number of jobs to Wisconsin. So I guess the only way to settle that is wait and see when this is all wrapped up, see how many jobs are here.
How much money have they gotten so far from the state?
They haven't qualified for any money yet. So they get the money if they create a certain number of jobs. And there's certain benchmarks that they need to meet to get the money. Each quarter or whatever it is, and they haven't met that job creation benchmark. So the governor and Foxconn has talked about changing that contract. They haven't said why, but, you know, there's a lot of thought that might be why, because as they're, the progress that they're making now and the pace they're going, they're not going to get any money.
Molly Beck, once again, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I will link to as many stories as I possibly can a little bit later on this afternoon on the social media sites. Molly, absolutely sensational. It's great to chat with you again. Let's talk before too much longer, okay?
Okay. Thanks for having me.